To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them.
Ah, is the Bible here already?
Hi everyone, welcome to anyone who's new. I know we've got at least one new face among us. Keep your coats on, I'm afraid. We're struggling to get the boiler. Anyone who knows anything about boilers, commercial boilers, then be my guest. Go down and see if you can work it out. Good, so keep that passage open with you and we're going to be looking at that now together. The question we're thinking about this lunchtime is, what is God doing in the world? It is not what many assume. What is God doing in the world? The issue at stake as Jesus continues to explain himself in John's Gospel is who he is and what he's come to do. And chapter 10 is no different. We're still with that issue. Who is Jesus? What has he come to do? And the question today, what is God doing in the world today? One reason this matters so much is that many of us don't believe, or we believe so faintly in Jesus, because actually we don't understand who he is and what he's really doing in the world. And Jesus says here, he says to us, if you realize that I'm a shepherd, you will understand what I'm doing in the world. See, we tend to have the wrong expectations of the Messiah, much like the Jews of his day. We expect Jesus, if he is the Son of God, to come and to change this world. But of course, the world has remained largely the same for the last 2,000 years. People in your offices would say, wouldn't they? Nothing much fundamental has changed. There are still wars. We know about that. There's still poverty. There's still slavery is alive and well, even in this country. And it gives rise to the question, if Jesus was the Son of God who loves us, who come to bring his kingdom, why hasn't he changed these things? Gordon Brown, in a recent book called Seven, he's written a recent book in 2021 called Seven Ways to Change the World. I love the endorsement. So one of the main endorsements, endorsed by none other than David Tennant. So Doctor Who thinks this is a good book to read. Brown is actually donating all the proceeds of the book to charity. It seems like he genuinely cares. But he asks these kinds of questions at the beginning of the book, familiar to most of us. Why are we struggling to halt climate change despite the genius of the world's best scientists? Why does the sword of Damocles hang over the global economy? Why are our promises to end poverty being betrayed? You might add to this, of course, he doesn't, but many would, if Jesus was the Son of God who loves us, who made us, well, why is there still so much suffering in the world? Why is the world still the same as it was 2,000 years ago? And Jesus says in answer to that question, if you realize that I'm a shepherd, not just a shepherd, but the shepherd, you will begin to see the answer. You'll begin to understand. Now, I wonder if you realize that in the Old Testament, God described himself as a shepherd, and I'd love us to come back and see that. God described himself as a shepherd, and he said that one day he would come back to get his people. Now, I think we're going to turn to Ezekiel chapter 34, which is on page 722, I think, of these Bibles. So if you just come back with me to page 722, I think it is worth coming back to see this. So Ezekiel chapter 34. Yeah, there we are. Keep a finger in John. God is speaking to his rebellious people at this point in the Bible story. He sent them into exile. It's about 580 BC. But as he speaks to his rebellious people, as he does so, he makes this promise about what he will one day do in the future. Just look down at chapter 34, verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search out my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness, and I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And then verse 15, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. You see the point? God himself says, one day I will come and shepherd my people. Now flick back to John chapter 10. And it is not rocket science to work out what Jesus is claiming in chapter 10, verse 2, where he says, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, referring to himself, the shepherd of the sheep. Who is he saying he is? He's saying he's God, as promised, come to gather up his sheep. Can you see that? And if last week we were thinking about proving his identity, he was proving his identity by coming through the door, through his miracles that only God the Son could do, through his death for sin, and through his resurrection. Well, this week in verses 3 to 5, he moves to describe what he will do once he has come through the door, once he's been raised from the dead. What is his work going to be? Well, three observations for the rest of our time. They're on your sheet there. Number one, in Jesus, God, the true shepherd, has come to get his own sheep. And I want us just to pause on that word own, his own sheep. I want us to see the emphasis here. So just look down at verse 3. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And then verse 4. When he has brought out all his own. Now, this is really important. Jesus is drawing a picture of the world in spiritual terms. It is a world full of sheep, right? That's the picture he's drawing. But it's a world full of mixed flocks. So me and my family, we love going to Wales when we can on holiday. We have three small boys. And so we need the space for them to run around, and Wales is just about big enough for that. I don't want to promote any stereotypes, but Wales does have a lot of sheep. It's just a fact. We see that when we go. And I'm told that there are different types of sheep farming, so my understanding is that you can have lowland sheep farms where sheep are enclosed in flocks. They don't mix with another flock. It's just one flock, one shepherd, one farmer. But there's a different kind of sheep farming which happens in the uplands in Wales and in other parts of the world where sheep can roam, and you can have mixed flocks that need to be marked. And I think that's right in Wales, I may be wrong. Anyway, the situation that Jesus is imagining is the latter, which I think was more common in the ancient world. Sheep would roam and mix with other flocks, and then there would be a rent-a-space sheep pen. For the nights, a bit like WeWork offices here, where you get many flocks mixed in one building, there would be a rent-a-space sheep pen where flocks would be kept together for the night, and then in the morning the shepherd would come and would call out his sheep. That's the picture. Jesus says the world is a world of mixed flocks, but in that world God has his own sheep. And they are precious to him. And so the first thing is to see that Jesus is not actually calling the whole world after him. don't know if that's a new idea to us. He's very clearly, he has come to get his own sheep. He knows them all individually. That's why in verse 3 he talks about calling them by name, one by one. We've seen him do this in chapter 9 with the blind man. This is in chapter 9 was an illustration of the shepherd with his sheep. He calls out the blind man from the crowd, one by one, and his sheep follow him. Maybe for some of us this is a new idea, that Jesus never said he would bring the whole world after him. Rather, he said the world is like a sheep pen, many flocks, and he's come to get his own. Yes, his salvation is offered to all. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me, it is offered to all. But only his own will follow. He's come to get his own. And that is worth thinking about, isn't it? Christians often talk about how we are hoping for revival. I don't know if you've heard that. By which we mean something like a whole nation or a whole city surrendering to Jesus. And sometimes we also mean something like social transformation that will come with that. Jesus never said he'd come to do that. God can do what he likes, of course. If he wants to convert this whole city, hundreds of thousands in it, he can do that. But he never said he would. Much more, it's like the picture of one by one, individuals here, individuals there, being called to follow their shepherd and dropping everything to follow him. And so this means, if we're Christian here, I just want to pause us to pause on this. Have you realized how precious you are to Jesus? I wonder if you've ever seen a crowd of faces, and within that crowd there is someone you know who's yours. Most obviously to me it's when the children are coming out of the playground and you see your own child, but it might be a parent or a spouse or something like that. That is the picture here. Jesus, the Son of God, surveys all of humanity, and from the crowd he calls out his own precious sheep. It's just worth stopping to think about that if you're a Christian here, if you're following the voice of the Lord Jesus. We often think about how Jesus loves us. Can you see it from this perspective, from his perspective? Who are you to him? None of us deserve to be his sheep, but you are his precious sheep who he's calling out of this world. Well, how will he get his own people? How will he gather them up? That wasn't clear in Ezekiel's prophecy. Ezekiel didn't say how God would gather them up, but Jesus does, and that brings us on to the second point here. Secondly, by voice recognition. He's come to get his own by voice recognition, through his voice. And you can see that if you just look again. That's really clear in verse 3, 4, and 5. It comes up. The sheep hear his voice, verse 3. Verse 4, the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Verse 5, they will flee from the voice of strangers. Jesus says, I am a shepherd, and that means that I'm gathering my sheep through my voice. Again, that's just how sheep work. Next time you're in a field with some sheep, try calling them to come to you. I did this in Wales. I tried to call to some sheep. I've got absolutely nothing, not even the prick of an ear. Just head down, carrying on eating grass. I actually watched a video of a female farmer which was trying to illustrate this point, and she did it very well. She got someone else. She had her sheep about 50 yards away. She got someone else to shout, come on, girls! And they shouted that, and there was absolutely nothing, not even the prick of an ear. And then she stood up and shouted, come on, girls! And every sheep lifted its head, she said it again, and they came running. Why is that? Well, it's just how sheep work. The surest way that a sheep can recognize its shepherd, it is not through eyesight, which is hazy, but through voice recognition. Now, this is really important, because if we don't realize this, we will completely miss what Jesus is doing in the world. How is Jesus gathering his people and leading them out to a promised land, to eternal life? He's doing it through his voice. Now, I just want us to think about two main implications of this. Number one,
This is why Christianity is a religion that is not about seeing, but about hearing. I wonder if you've ever thought about this. Why didn't Jesus commission his disciples to draw some pictures of him, various facial expressions, but rather to write down his words? Well, because sheep cannot recognize a face, but they can recognize a voice. Have you ever wondered why the Lord Jesus, as he was raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of the Father, why he's left us with a book? Because he's a shepherd. And so he's left us with his voice, right? That's all we need. Any Christian will be able to tell you that the Bible, the words of Jesus, grip them and gripped them almost inexplicably. That they have a ring of truth that no other voice seems to have. We listen and we follow, even when it's hard, even when we, when perhaps it's not how we used to think. When Jesus says difficult things, we listen and we follow. It's not that rational thought isn't involved. It makes perfect sense and reason is involved, but it's deeper than that. Any Christian will tell you, it's like hearing a familiar voice. A voice of one who knows me. Why? Well, because I'm hearing the voice of my shepherd. I remember reading this book. I really recommend this book hugely to you, wherever you are, wherever you're coming from in faith things. It's called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. I don't want to give you too many spoilers. Well, in fact, he gives you a pretty big spoiler with the title. But most of the story is about him becoming willing as a Muslim to open the Bible with an open heart. Most of this book is about, and that's a huge thing for, if you have Muslim friends, it's a huge thing for them to become willing to open the Bible with an open heart and to read it as though it might be true. And most of this book is about that. It's not till chapter 52 that he does it. He finally opens his Bible and looks at Matthew's Gospel, and a week later, he falls on his knees before Jesus as his Lord and Saviour. And it struck me that that was the point at which he began to hear the voice of his shepherd. Christianity is not about seeing, but about hearing. Why? Because Jesus is a shepherd. And so, where will the person experience Jesus most authentically? Not primarily in things that we can see, in miracles or visible signs, but through his words. As an aside, it may be that some of us need to ask, if we are Christian, some of us need to ask, is my church a place where it's all about hearing the voice of Jesus in the scriptures? Is his voice central to what's going on? Is it his voice, or is it the pastor's voice that's on display? Is the minister wanting to allow the Bible to speak on its own terms, or simply using the Bible to say what he or she wants to say? Because it's the shepherd's voice we need to hear, not mine or anyone else's. But secondly, just briefly, I want you to see the inevitability of it. I think this is the point. It's the inevitability. Jesus says not that his sheep might follow, but that they will follow. And that is worth thinking about too. Jesus' mission cannot be derailed or knocked off track. I think that's the point. Christians talk about sovereignty. We see the sovereignty of Jesus the shepherd. There is no question that God will have his sheep and will gather every single one of them. You see that verse 4? When, not if, but when he has brought out all his own. And then the point of verse 5, they won't follow any other voice. They can't, because they're his sheep. And so even though we're in a world of many competing voices, many false shepherds, including our secular shepherds, as we were thinking about last week, will be vying to lure Christians away from their God, And actually, that is who they go for, isn't it? You read much of the secular stuff. It's never attacking Islam directly. It's most of the time it's attacking Christianity. Why? Because the false shepherds want to lure God's sheep away. But Jesus says they will not succeed. They cannot. The only thing that they will succeed in doing is causing true sheep to run away from them. Because Jesus is the shepherd who will have his sheep. They will follow him. And there's no question about it. As carol service season comes up for many of us, if we are Christian, why not think who we can invite? But it is not down to you to convert anyone. He will call his sheep. And finally, where is he taking his sheep? The third point there, more briefly. I think it's really significant, this. If you look down at that little word out, he says it twice, verse 3. He calls his own sheep by name. Where does he lead them? Out. And verse 4, when he has brought out all his own. What does he mean by that word out? Well, I think we get a vivid illustration of this in chapter 9 with the blind man. The blind man is led to recognize Jesus as his Lord and Savior. But it's significant that as he does that, he gets cast out of the synagogue, which is a picture of being cast out of the world and out of respectable society. We won't turn there now, but later on in chapter 17, Jesus speaks of his people as the people that you, the Father, gave me out of the world. They are not of this world, he says, of them. And so what is going on here? It seems most likely that he means, when I call my sheep, I call them out of the world. They no longer belong to the world. I will take them out of the world and I will lead them into life. What kind of life? Well, not life in this world. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. Just look down again at verse 4. And you can see that the dynamic there is when a person is converted, he is brought out of the world, taken out of the world, and then you get this beautiful picture of the shepherd leading his sheep, and they follow his voice into an eternal new life, an eternal new day. And so he leads them gently through his voice into life, safely into the eternal promised land. The city is all about going up, isn't it? Up the ladder to the next promotion. Every company, I'm assuming that yours does, I can make that assumption so confidently, every company promises an upwards trajectory to all who work hard enough. That's what people around you are aiming for, to go up. But what's at the end of that trajectory? Absolutely nothing. Emptiness. The world around is on a different trajectory. But Jesus is calling his sheep out. Out of the world. Now, what's at the end of that? Life. Eternal life. In a glorious new creation with God. And so it's just worth remembering, if we're Christian here today, where our shepherd is leading us with his voice. Yes, this world will feel less and less like home. I take it in the workplace, in the office, if you're a Christian, this world will feel less and less like home. You'll feel more and more like an alien living in this world. No surprise, he's leading us out. But think again where he's taking us. Into an eternal new day. Into life. So, what is God doing in the world? Nothing so small as changing this world. Nothing so small as social transformation. Rather, God is gathering his sheep, one by one, through the voice of his shepherd, and leading them out into eternal life. Let's pray as I close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to think about your word. We pray that every single one of us in this room would be your own sheep who follow where your voice leads. And we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus and his voice in our life, leading us out of this world, but into eternal life, into a glorious new creation hope. And we pray as we go back to the office, if we are Christian, that you'd help us to go trusting in the Lord Jesus. Help us not to be tempted by the trajectory of the world around, but to rejoice in the trajectory of the shepherd leading us into life. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.